roam across private land. Did you know that? If you're camping in Scotland or hiking in Scotland, you have the right to roam. You have the freedom to roam across private or public lands, as long as you are following the Scottish Outdoor Access Code about how you do that. Now, we were in a motorized vehicle. We were not on foot all the time carrying our own stuff. We had it packed in a motor, like a small motorhome, a camper van. And so we weren't allowed to what they call wild camp, to just set up camp wherever you want in Scotland. It's such a cool idea. We were allowed in several places to park the camper van for free and to stay overnight in that space at particular trailheads or public parking areas. And you'd wake up in the morning and there would be lots of other camper vans doing the same thing and creating this small community in that place. It felt so strange to have that kind of freedom because I'm so used to having to pay to stay somewhere. And to just pull up the motorhome felt like maybe we were doing something we shouldn't be doing there. It was very strange. That kind of freedom and that right to roam was really different. Freedom. Freedom, a word with many meanings if ever there was one. When I say the word freedom, immediately you have some thoughts. It's the word on the lips of a teenager seeking to break free from parental authority. Freedom. It's the word on the lips of those debating geopolitical incidents and those who are discussing the highest of philosophical ideals. It's an important word, freedom. It's important for us theologically as the people of God to spend some time with the word freedom. Our ancestors in faith, the Hebrew people who left Egypt together, are the first cultural group, in known history anyway, to construct a foundational story around this idea of freedom. They moved from lives of coercion under Pharaoh to having a choice about how to live and work and worship. They were free from coercion, free from restraint on their bodies and their time, free to work for their own household survival and thriving. They were free to take a day of rest, even a Sabbath. They were not necessarily free of hardship. They experienced hunger and thirst and discomfort and illness, and free as they were, the book of Exodus reminds us that they sometimes, even in their freedom, grew irritated with the whole roaming experience in the wilderness. Freedom in the ancient world, and for especially our Hebrew ancestors, was not tied so strongly to the individual as it is in most of our minds today. When we think about freedom, we might think very quickly about individual freedoms or rights. In the ancient world, it was quite different. So being part of a worshiping community, for most of us, is a regular reminder that freedom, theologically speaking, is for the whole community's benefit. When so much of our life emphasizes the individual, this is a really nice reminder to consider freedom as a group. We have a freedom together in community. We are free to make choices together about how to spend our time and our money, how to work together to support young people and refugees, how to gather for worship and when and where. As a community of faith, we are free. If we take that journey, we are free from spiritual loneliness. We can find that freedom. We can find freedom from the sins of our own past by God's grace and forgiveness. As a community of faith, we are free to know the deep joy in Christ. We are free to serve one another without expecting anything back in return. We have freedom from being enslaved by greed and status and fear. We have freedom to enjoy life as these marvelous, brilliant human creatures made in the image of God, living in communities of shared blessings. Christians understand that every human being is created in the image of God. That's what we just prayed together in Psalm 139. And therefore, each human being has inalienable rights and freedoms that require the community's protection. Freedom is therefore, for Christian people, a group enterprise. True freedom for me is only possible when you, my neighbor, are also free. According to the teachings of Judaism, which are based on this foundational story of human freedom in the Exodus, true freedom is not the absence of bondage. It is rather the presence of justice and purpose. I'm going to say that again. True freedom is not the absence of bondage. It is rather the presence of justice and purpose. This is such a challenging teaching for me. It's a bit exhausting and overwhelming. We can't be free until there is justice for all of the beloved human beings made in God's image. That's a lot. It's a lot of work that calls us forth. There is so much injustice around. We look around us all the time for ways that we can lift the chains of bondage off one another and bring about that kind of justice. And we do not stop until all are free. The Apostle Paul knew about bondage. He was in prison chains as he wrote a letter to Philemon, a leader in the church in Colossae. Thanks for reading a whole book of the Bible to us today. That was really nice of you, Dick. You read all 21 verses, the whole book of Philemon to us this morning, so you can go home today accomplished, knowing you've all heard a whole book of the Bible. It's a short one. It's packed with these persuasive arguments from Paul to Philemon. He's pleading with Philemon to free the slave Onesimus from the bondage of his enslavement in Philemon's household. Israel Kamuzandu, a Zimbabwean New Testament scholar, says the following about this text. In every one of us, there is a Philemon, and there is an Onesimus. In every one of us, there's Philemon and Onesimus. I agree. In every one of us, there is Philemon who has power that has gone a little too far, and there is also Onesimus who lives in bondage to some misguided idea or oppressive fear that is holding someone back from who God designed us to truly be. I would add that in every one of us, there is also an Apostle Paul, who despite being in chains himself, is advocating for the freedom of another person. This letter from the Apostle Paul is pleading with all of us still today to become increasingly free, to be free from the ways and relationships that might be enslaving us, free from the cult of more, 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 free from the behaviors that sabotage our joy as the beloved people made in God's image, free to be reconciled fully with God and one another. This letter pleads with the Philemons within us to release the Onesimuses within us and to become fully reconciled. For Philemon, this reconciliation will require quite the sacrifice. Knowing what we know about enslavement in the ancient world, it's going to cost Philemon financially to adjust his household to function without Onesimus. The act of freeing Onesimus will also free Philemon. It will liberate him from the evils of treating human beings as objects instead of fellow children of God. As we see a more just society taking shape, as we share our experiences of life-giving freedom with one another, we know we make those sacrifices for sound and worthy reasons. We make those sacrifices for the gospel. I return to you this morning from sabbatical with a heart that was free to roam, and roam it did. A heart that was free to seek out spaces of refreshment, free to unabashedly roll around in life's blessings. I'd been so busy, some of those blessings had just sped by me without my notice. I had the freedom to choose from an almost overwhelming menu of life-giving activities each day. And as a result, I am refreshed, and I am free, and I am reconciled and filled with joy. As the prophet Isaiah said, in returning and rest, we shall be saved. Not in more work, we shall be saved, but in returning and rest, indeed. I give thanks for the Lilly Foundation's clergy renewal grant that made it possible for our congregations to allow a sabbatical for the priest in charge and rector, and made it possible for my family to roam freely about in that camper van in Scotland. And I give thanks for the leaders, clergy, and staff who operated the ministries of St. Paul's and St. Andrew's so competently and so compassionately over these summer months. Thank you all. Thank you all so very much for your leadership and faithfulness. As I return to you, I anticipate that over the fall months, we will do some discernment together. We may even discern some sacrifices that we will choose to make together in order for our community to be free to serve God more fully. Together we will move through whatever discernment wilderness is ahead of us to experience the deep joys of freedom as a community, a freedom that we know best when we are together, a freedom that reconciles us and then launches us forward into the joy of God's promises and purpose for us.
Amen.
Amen.